encouraging welcome. I'm not going to be with you long, mainly because they won't let me. About 7 minutes.
Take your time, Pastor.
All right, so we have the second word. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 35. Kind of get a little head start on y'all, because I got a bookmark. All right. Give y'all a little time. Luke 23, verse 35. Listen on. And it says, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which reads, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That's our word.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to do my best impression of a preacher this evening. At this point in time, we find Jesus has been marched, carrying a cross to a place called Golgotha, meaning skull. He was in an execution procession along with two condemned criminals. When they reached the appointed site, the cross Jesus was forced to carry was erected with him nailed painfully upon it. Jesus' cross was placed in the middle of the two criminals, with one on his left and the other on his right. All three hung to die. This all fulfilled the prophecy the Lord himself quoted earlier from Isaiah 53, verse 12, that stated, he was numbered with the transgressors. Indeed, Jesus was simply included in the day's scheduled executions along with the other common criminals on death row. Here Jesus, we find he's mocked. The rulers are quoted to say, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers offered him wine vinegar also challenged him to come down from that cross. A sign written by Pilate is placed above him, reading, this is the king of the Jews, another mock. Finally, one of the criminals, while hanging on his cross, joins in and adds sarcastically that Jesus should save all of them while he's at it. But Luke's account is the only one in the four Gospels that records the words of the other criminal. Seemingly unexpected, the man rebukes his comrade for the insult and offers some perspective along with revelation. He asks, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? He says, we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. Then he makes a request to Jesus, to which human understanding really, it makes no sense. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know the service. I read the program. I know the service is about Jesus saying the last word. But I was intrigued by the audacity of this question rather than the reality of Jesus' answer. See, to ask such a question may seem understandable to believers today. But let's look at why at that hour it makes no human sense. First point, he addresses Jesus as Lord. Jesus looks nothing like authority as he hangs on a cross naked and bloody. Second point, he called the kingdom Jesus' possession. Jesus looks nothing like royalty right now, with a crown of thorns on his head. Third, he acknowledges Jesus is going to his kingdom. Jesus doesn't look like he's going anywhere, or that he could take anyone with him, nailed on a cross. So, I'm thinking it's only by revelation and faith that this dying man saw the Son of God hanging next to him and saw his true ability to save him from what his crimes and sins deserve. It has to be by revelation. In order to make such a bold request, this criminal, he had to do three things. One, he had to get over his past. He was a publicly convicted criminal. This joker had a record. Two, he had to disregard what he heard. He heard the religious leaders, remember that verse? The soldiers and his fellow death row inmate. They were all saying, if Jesus was the Son of God, why is he unable to save himself?
Come on now.
And beyond that, thirdly, he had not to rely on what he saw with his eyes. His Savior, his only hope, seemed to be in the same position he was in. So here we are ultimately witness to a spiritual contrast. The contrast between those who believe and those who don't. Do you believe Jesus is who he said he is? Do you believe God will do what he said he will do? And at the point of your greatest need, when all hope seems lost, will you put your hope in a man named Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the way, the truth, the life? Think about what you need from God today. 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 Can you disregard the unbelief of the majority? Can you disregard your own dirty past?
Yeah.
Can you have faith beyond what you see with your eyes and hear with your ears?
Come on now.
And trust only in the word of God? All this thief had as evidence at this point was Jesus' word. Jesus didn't look like he claimed to be. He didn't look like he was able to save anybody. He didn't look like Lord, that he was going to a kingdom of his own where he could take anybody with him. Can you take God at his word concerning your need and your life? Despite what the situation looks like, will you have faith that God is able? Able. Will you be bold enough to ask and persevere to maintain your faith? This is what we have to do. This is what separates us from those who have no hope. Jesus is the dividing point, like he was between those two convicts. Father, you have shown us who you are and what you can do. We believe what you told us. We look beyond what we see. We don't listen to what is contrary to your word. With boldness, we ask of you. We stand in faith against all odds, believing you are willing and able. And we wait expectantly to receive what we desire from you. For to you belongs all honor, glory, dominion, wealth, and power. From Golgotha to land. And all God's people say,
amen. Here we go.